कुंजा बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी चंद वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। जामुना तीरावन चारी। जामुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रीतिकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस शिल श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रीतिकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस शिल भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। आनंद कोटि वैष्णविंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। समवेता भक्तवृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya. Narang chaiva narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jai Mudirit. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadev, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prajesha badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktim bhavati naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. On this 28th day of November 2012 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves, text number 60. I'll read the synonyms first. You can read along. Yatra, where, Nisarga, by nature. Durvaira, living in enmity. Sahasan, living together. Nri, human beings. Mriga Adiyaha, and animals. Mitrani, friends. Eva, like Ajita of Lord Sri Krishna. Avasa, residence. Druta, gone away. Root, anger. Tarshika, Adikam, thirst, and so on. Yatranai Sarga Durvaira. Sahasan Hrimagadayaha. Mitrani Vajita Vasa. Dutarut Tarshakadikam. Yatra Naisarga Durvaira. Sahasan Hrimagadayaha. Mitrani Vajita Vasa. Dutarut Tarshakadikam. Yatranai Sarga Durvaira. Sahasan Magadayaha. Mitrani Vajita Vasa. Dutarut Tarshakadikam. Yatranai Sarga Durvaira Sahasam Magadayaha Tuturut Tarshakadikam. Yatranai Sarga Durvaira Sahasam Magadayaha Mitrani Vajithavasa Tutarut Tarshakadikam Yatranai Sarga Durvaira Sahasan Magadayaha Mitrani Vajithavasa Ladies, Yatranai Sarga Durvaira Sahasan Magadayaha Mitrani Vajita Vasa Dutarut Tarshakadikam. Well, that's an easy one. Some of the ladies? Okay. Translation, Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together. And when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. Even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Vana, the forest. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishnot kirtana gana nartana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same. To please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy, the cat is happy, the dog is happy, the man is happy, everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity, and thus there is no envy. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely, yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, will gradually be very much appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, "All the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities. This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harava bhaktosya kuto mahadgunaha. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya Chakshura unmadatam mena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisance to him and all members of Sri Parampara. So, as I was reading this purport, one thing came to mind. Most of you are aware, this is practically the last purport that Prabhupada dictated. This is quite a poignant scene here. Prabhupada is lying on his bed, and Pradyumna has a little mic, Das Brahmachari has the mic, and they're getting every last word that Prabhupada is speaking, very difficult to hear. And just see what the mood of this purport is. First of all, it's interesting that Prabhupada keeps swinging back between the material forest and Vrindavan. He's clearly experiencing in his inner consciousness the actual nature of Vrindavan, which is that there's no envy. I mean, anyone who knows the Bible, this is the peaceable kingdom. Isn't it? The peaceable kingdom. Isn't there something like that described in the Bible where the lamb and the lion will sit down together? He's describing exactly that. The human beings and fierce animals live together there in transcendental friendship. So, Prabhupada makes the point that normally, you don't want to live there. In the Vedic culture, it's called a tapovan. When you leave your comfort of your home or the palace, the kings would go out into the forest and they would expect punishment. They would expect austerity. That's why it's called Dandakaranya. Right? Ram went into the forest. And everyone was lamenting he's leaving the palace and he's going into the Dandakaranya where all the stages and the rishis spend time performing austerities for self-realization. And it's difficult. Is any one of us ready to go into the forest to just try to live? Find the roots and fruits, worry about the animals, where you're going to do your laundry? Any idea? But here Prabhupada is saying, but the forest, Vrindavan forest, has no such fear. It has no such threat because there's no enmity. When we study the Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, we find that the feeling of anger arises when your desires are frustrated. Kama krodo vijayate. Isn't it? Kama krodo vijayate. From contemplating the object of the senses, you get attachment. From attachment comes lust, and from lust comes anger, because lust is never satisfied, and eventually you become dissatisfied. So in the normal forest, or in the wild forest of the material world in general, there is always that threat of enmity. There's always the envy. Now, this word envy and enmity go nicely together. In fact, in English, Oxford English, from England, envy and enmity are practically synonymous. In America, envy practically only means jealousy. Someone has something that you want, and therefore you have envy. And that's certainly one main meaning of it. But envy in Proverbs vocabulary, and you should know this, as you read Proverbs books, the word envious or envy often means just bearing malice toward. If you read Krishna book, you'll find, I think it's in Krishna book, he says, one should not be envious even of an ant. Well, what does the ant have that we want? Nothing. But it means that don't disregard the ant's right to live. Don't just step on them or, you know, be careless. They also have their right to live. If an ant, a little bug is walking here and walking back and forth, you try to take him outside so you don't crush him. So don't be envious of anything. And here we see that in Vrindavan, even the naturally envious animals, the tiger, you know, is always, normally the tiger is looking for some smaller animal to eat, a weaker animal to eat, you know. And that's what they do. That's their nature. There's no sin there. But in Vrindavan, we find that since Krishna is the center, there's no lust, and everything is provided. And Prabhupada said even the tigers are drinking milk. The sadhus are giving the tiger milk here. So there, it's a different mood. The mood is one of cooperation and love for Krishna. And because Krishna is in the center, everyone also feels friendly and love toward each other. This is actually the Vaikuntha mood, and it's meant to be duplicated in the little embassies called the temples of Krishna consciousness. So now Prabhupada also talks here about how, this is so moving at the end here, we are therefore trying, you know. He's about, you know, in two days or 3 days, he did this right to the end. He was dictating these commentaries. He's going to leave his body, but he's saying, we are trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. Just see the incredible quality of this great sadhu who is our spiritual master. And all of us, every time I give class, I offer this prayer, Nashta Prayasya Bhadreshu, and I say we should offer our obeisances to the commentator and translator, Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master. Now, to be a disciple, you can look it up in the dictionary, means to be a follower of someone's philosophy. I can be a disciple of Kierkegaard or Nietzsche, you know. Today, they're disciples, you know. Not serious, but they try to follow. They say, oh, yes, I'm... So in that sense, and even in more important sense, we're all disciples of Srila Prabhupada as Shiksha disciples. As Shiksha disciples. That's a very important relationship. Read the first chapter of the Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's all about the spiritual master. And it's actually about the spiritual masters. And it's very clearly explained there that the Krishna appears through the spiritual masters, the initiating guru and the Shiksha guru. He appears in order to deliver the disciples. And in that sense, all of us are forever. Anyone who's involved in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness accepts Prabhupada's books as authoritative, as the most authoritative evidence for what to do and what not to do to achieve the ultimate goal of life. We're all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So here, our spiritual master is showing the ideal of a real sadhu. What does Kapila Dev describe? Titikshava kadunika suridaksava dehinam. Can there be a more moving and perfect example of that, of Srila Prabhupada's dictating this purport and saying, we are trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness. And I've heard, although I wasn't there at the time, that in those last days, people would come to see Prabhupada, and he's lying there on the bed, and I'm sure many of you have seen some of the pictures or the videos. His flesh had practically gone from his body, and doctors were saying a normal person would be crying out in agony, and Prabhupada was lying there stoically. And someone would come and say, oh, how is your wife? How are you doing? How is your health? To give him some prasadam. This sense of always being sensitive to the benefit of others is a result of always being sensitive and caring of Krishna's welfare. And seeing Krishna in everyone, and that everyone's real benefit can only happen through their becoming Krishna conscious. And therefore, the great devotees are always trying to give Krishna, even with their last breath. This is what we're witnessing here when you read these last purports. There's about three or four more verses in this whole chapter. This is the last chapter that Prabhupada dictated. So I thought I would share that with you as I was reading this. I was saying, wow, what is going on here? Prabhupada is, describing the ideal atmosphere, of Vrindavan and Goloka Vrindavan, where there is eternal happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. So we're trying to come to that platform and enter into that world, and at the same time invite others to partake of it. Because this is the gift that we've all been given. We owe such a great debt to Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas in our line for making the effort of spreading this Krishna consciousness. And we can't repay that debt, but as Srila Prabhupada said several times, if you want to try, you should try to repay the debt, and the best way to do it is to preach, to give Krishna consciousness to others. So as I sometimes point out, this is Lord Chaitanya's example. Chaitanya, if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right at the beginning, there's these Mangalacharan verses. They set the framework for what the subject of the whole book. And it describes there the internal reasons and the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance, for Krishna's appearance as Lord Chaitanya. And the external reason is to spread Krishna consciousness, to give the highest understanding of service to Krishna, spontaneous love at the highest levels of Gopi Baba, and to, in this way, save humanity. And as soon as he took sannyas, yes, he started for Vrindavan, but he arranged for that, that to, and he went to Puri, and then really he went on a tour of South India, and he was spreading Krishna consciousness by the simple means of chanting Hare Krishna. You read Chaitanya's wonderful description. Anyone who would see him would become filled with praying. And of course he also had debates, philosophically. He was defeated Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the Buddhist. He converted Muslims. Everybody who came in touch with him was converted. But at the same time, he had his internal reason. The internal reason that Krishna came, he wanted to relish his bhakti from Radharani's point of view. Right? It's a wonderful description. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Ki Jashovana Yaiva Svadar Jena Buddha Madhurima Ki Jashovama Diya. This is a quote of Krishna's thinking, what he's thinking. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. I want to understand the glory of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. This is Krishna speaking, in other words, for myself. Shri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. I can't understand it as Krishna. I've tried all kinds of ways. I can't understand it. It's so wonderful. It's so glorious. It's so much filled with ananda. So that's one reason. And then to understand himself through the means or the mercy or the lens, if you will, of her love. See, this is the whole idea is that we appreciate Krishna proportionate to how much we've purified ourselves of lower modes, and the natural love of Krishna is awakening in our hearts. So who appreciates Krishna the most? The gopis. And who's the main gopi? Srimati Radharani. All the other gopis are expansions of her. So she appreciates his beauty, his personality, his all the qualities, his sweetness, more than anyone. So therefore he wanted to experience that too. Asvajo yena, by which Adbhuta Madhurima, my wonderful sweetness, my wonderful appearance. And then the last thing, he wanted to experience the happiness, the ananda that she's experienced by loving him and being loved by him. So therefore, Krishna came in the mood of Radharani with the complexion of Srimati Radharani, you see, to experience that. So those two parallel reasons or causes. And at the same time, this is the model for all of us. Yes, Lord Chaitanya is setting the model. We have our own bhajan. We're doing our morning program, chanting, reading, worshiping the deity. It's nice if some guest comes, they're also getting something, but we're not preaching at that point. We're recharging the batteries, we're developing our own bhakti. We have our own mission to become Krishna conscious. You see? And that's good. We need that. We can't give what we don't have. So Prabhupada says, first become Krishna conscious, then give Krishna consciousness. And then at the same time, and they work together, You know, for the if one is, picks up Srila Prabhupada's mood as expressed in this purport and thousands of others, and throughout his career, of giving Krishna consciousness, that will also glean Lord Nityananda's mercy, so that we'll be able to practice sadhana with more enthusiasm, patience, determination, and in this way experience more of the internal aspect of Krishna consciousness. So, but those two tracks have to be there. If you try to get really busy with spreading Krishna consciousness, but your sadhana is weak, that won't work. You know, eventually you'll become prey to the maya or the modes of nature. And if you just try to do bhajan anandi, you know, well, that's not ISKCON. You'll never be peaceful in society. You may go off to Vrindavan and do that. It's very difficult. But that's not what this society is all about. You'll always feel uncomfortable because there's always some preaching to do. There's a, you know, okay, we have the parade, you know. We have the Rath Yatra coming. So many Rath Yatras you put on. It's fabulous, Northern Florida. That's great preaching. You know, there's a book marathon. There's so many things that need to be done. You can't just blow it all off and say, no, I just want to see Radha Shyam. You know, Radha Shyam. Radha Shyam are pleased if you make the effort to go out. That's our going to the forest. That's our going to the Tapovan, is actually taking the trouble to spread Krishna consciousness. So another thing I wanted to share with you, since this is my last day here, and I haven't actually given any poems during these classes, although I did one on Sunday, I wanted to read from an earlier purport here, because this I realized was kind of important in my years of memorizing verses and then also writing some poetry, which I hope to write more of. Please bless me that I can do that. And we take it. Let's go back to chapter 9. You remember what chapter 9 is all about? That's the chapter where Krishna runs from, where Mother Yashoda binds Krishna. And it begins with a description of Mother Yashoda churning that butter. It's a beautiful description of her, you know, how she, her bangles are moving and everything, and then Krishna grabs the rod, you know, and creates a situation of love, as described here. But in the first, the very beginning, it's the scene is that, well, why should Yashoda? She's queen. She's a queen. Why should she do the churning? Well, because her servant. When Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. So she's churning the yogurt. And what's she doing? She's singing about Krishna. That's what it says. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. So I'm going to read this little purport, and then I'll share some verses with you. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from the Vaishnava Toshini of Sanatana Goswami, says that the incident of Krishna's breaking the pot, okay, he describes when it took place, and it goes on. While churning the butter, Mother Yashoda was singing about the childhood activities of Krishna. It was formerly a custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, and we want to remember Krishna constantly, right? Okay. It was formerly the custom that if one wanted to remember something constantly, he would transform it, he or she would transform it into poetry or have this done by a professional poet. It appears that Mother Yashoda did not want to forget Krishna's activities at any time. Therefore, she poeticized all of Krishna's childhood activities, such as the killing of Putana, Agasura, Shakatasura, and Trinavarta. That's all that had happened previous to this. This is just baby Leela. So he killed four demons up till now. And while churning the butter, she sang about these activities in poetical form. This should be the practice of persons eager to remain Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. This incident shows how Krishna conscious Mother Yashoda was. To stay in Krishna consciousness, we should follow such persons. So, in my own bumbling way, mostly I just memorized verses. I remember having read this, I then practically memorized this chapter. This was 1977. I was there 2 days after Prabhupada disappeared and we arrived. Mandaleshwar Prabhu and I were flying from L.A. And I was sitting in the temple, and you know, after all of the ceremonies of Prabhupada and chanting these verses. But I wanted to share a few with you, and one of them was because this is such a special temple with this fabulous, fantastic Krishna Balaram deities that have manifested here over the last few years. And so there's this one poem, you've heard it before, but we tend to repeat things and they're ever fresh, right? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So this one is about Krishna and Balaram entering the forest. And it's based on two verses from the chapter 21, which is the Venu Gita. So chapter 21 begins. It's right after the rainy season, right? And now the fall has come and everything is purified. So it describes it. Kusumata vanada adushushmibringa tujikula kushta saraksarin mahidram madapatata vagaya charayanga sahapasupala balachukujavedam. Bala is Balaram. Then it says a few verses later, Barhapi dam natavadavapu karnayo karnikaram bimbrun vasak kanaka kapisham vaijayantin chamalam randram veno adadasudaya purigan gopa brinda vrindaranyam sopadamanam pravishad gita kirti. Vrindavans, rivers, lakes, and hills rang out with charming, or ring out. Vrindavans, rivers, lakes, and hills ring out with charming hums and trills as flocks of birds and maddened bees rejoice among the flowering trees. To those idyllic woods and glens repairs Govinda with his friends, Sri Rama and the cowherd boys, to taste the most exquisite joys. And as they walk along the way, absorbed in herding and in play, Sri Krishna, beauty absolute, begins to blow his mystic flute. With peacock plume upon his head and fragrant flower on each ear, he enters Braj's woods with tread sublime, a dancer without peer. His golden yellow raiment glows, his garland reaches to his knees, and from his lips the nectar flows and fills his flute with melodies. As Krishna thus begins his day with friends who sing his glory sweet, he beautifies the forest way with fine impressions of his feet. Samadhi culminates in this, to always see this scene of bliss within oneself and outside too. May Krishna give this boon to you. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. So, we have a few minutes. I'm going to share a couple of other ones with you. Now, I'm sorry, we're not going to get these four things that happened today that are important, and I'm not going to be able to describe them. One is the rasa dance. Apparently, there's a rasa dance at the beginning and at the end of Kartik. If you remember, right before the month began, is Krishna's rasa dance, famous rasa dance. But this is also another rasa dance, Krishna Rasa Yatra. This is the appearance day of Nimbark Acharya, who is an important member of a different sampradaya, a very important acharya. It is also the anniversary of the marriage of Tulsi and Shaligram. And what? Last month of Kartik. I forget, there's one more thing that happened. What is it? Not Rasikananda. I think that was yesterday. I don't have it on my calendar. Anyway, this is a day you can look up each of those and celebrate them. So there's so many other verses, and I wanted to share with you about the holy name, since this is a festival of holy names. Still the glow is there. Everyone is still feeling the aftermath, and hopefully has increased our enthusiasm for chanting. So one beautiful verse from Bilva Manga Thakur's Krishna Karnamrita. Now this book, why is it that we read the Krishna Karnamrita? Because Lord Chaitanya was so enthusiastic about it. He went to South India and he brought back two books, the Krishna Karnamrita and Brahma Samhita. Thank you, yes. So those have become integrated into, obviously, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. So there's one very nice verse about that contains a glorification of the holy name there, near the end of the Krishna Karnamrita. And just listen to the poetry. It says, Jaya, 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 Deva, 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 Chubhavana Mangala Divya Nama Deha. Jaya, 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 Deva, Krishna Deva, Shravana Manona Yanama Tavatara. O glory, 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 Lord, O glory unto thee, who with thy holy name bless all three worlds and set them free. O glory, glory, glory unto thee, O Krishna Dev, whose nectar floods our ears and eyes and hearts in endless waves. So I thought I'd share that with you. And then, what do we pray to Krishna for? Our acharyas have shown us, beginning with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nadanang, nadanang. I'm not praying for this. I'm not praying for wealth, women, followers, all of these different things. I don't want even liberation. Ahoituki bhakti. I simply want causeless, unmotivated devotional service, birth after birth. And then the next verse, he prays simply to be reinstated as an atom of Krishna's lotus feet, eternal service. So as many other prayers have been given to us by our acharyas. Rupa Goswami prays, Bhujanga de Pachanda Gas Buddha de Kandachu Nankure, Nirankasha Draganchala, Brahmina Buddha, Bringa Brahme. Patangi the Hutustati, Vanakuti, the Kedi Priye, Potaspudutume Mohus, Twaya Mukunda, Shuddha Rati. Pick up on that, what he's praying for, Shuddha Rati. You wear the best of crests. You can look at Govinda at Shyam. You wear the best of crests, a crown of perfect peacock plumes. Your dancing glances stun the bees meandering midst the blooms. You relish love play in a cottage by Kalindi's shore. O Krishna, may pure love for you be mine forevermore. This is the prayer what we should pray for. Don't pray for anything material. And whatever you do, don't pray to the demigods for anything. We don't need the demigods. Other prayers along that line. Again from Rupa Goswami at the end of his Utkalika Valari. Utkalika Valari means the creeper of deep longings. He expresses deep longings just as Raghunath Das Goswami did in his Vilap Kusumanjali. Similar. And at the end he says a very beautiful, simple prayer that all of us can adopt and offer to Radhe Shyam. Pashupala Varenya Nandanao Vadametam Muharateye Yuvam Bhavatu Panayo Bhave Bhave Bhavatore Vapadambu Jeshume. O Radha Krishna, children of the best of coward men, this single boon I beg from you again and yet again. And all the countless births my endless sins will make me meet. Let all my love flow toward your luscious, lustrous lotus feet. Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Now, Queen Kunti, another prayer. Srila Prabhupada loves those prayers. There's a recording of him chanting those prayers. Some of the old timers may have that tape. It's really wonderful. So this prayer is right near the end. And after having prayed to Krishna to please cut off her attachment to all of the Pandus and the Vrishnis, she's saying that let my attraction be only to you. Very nice prayer. Traime nanya vishaya mati madupate sakrit. Ratamunba hataradha gange baugumadanviti. O Madhava, please ever fill my mind with thoughts of thee, not any other kind. As Ganges torrent flows into the sea, let all my love flow constantly to thee. This is a prayer all of us can offer to Krishna. I think I gave this prayer once, but in another class, but ever fresh. This is the Kumaras praying. You remember the Kumaras when they went up to the pearly gates, you know, of Vaikuntha? They couldn't get through because giant Vijay stopped them, right, and cursed them to come down. They became Varnyakashipu, Varnyaksha, etc. So the Kumaras, what happened was there's this commotion at the gate, and Narayan comes, Vishnu comes walking on his lotus feet and see what's going on. And when the Kumaras smell that fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet mixed with the Tulsi Manjari, unique fragrance, they underwent a transformation in their heart and they became bhaktas. They had been Brahmavadis before then, not Mayavadis, Brahmavadis. And they leaned toward Gyan. But now they were sold out bhaktas, and so they regretted, they repented. Oh, what have we done? We've cursed these devotees. They're devotees, after all, performing the sacrifice or the service of guarding the gate. So they were repentant, and Narayan Vishnu was encouraging them, don't worry, it was all my plan, but still they were repentant. And so they uttered this verse. It says, Kamam bhavaksa vajanaya nidayesha naksyat cheto livad yadinate padayorameta vashastunasta tulasi vad yadi tengri shobam puyetite gunagana yadi karnarandra. Birth in hell, our sins will surely warrant. Yet please, O Lord, bestow this blessing rare, that all our thoughts, like bees drunk in the torrent of fragrance swirling round your luscious pair of lotus feet, may relish deep remembrance of your sweet pastimes, name and form so fair. That all our words, like Tulsi's leaves so tender, may glory in being offered unto you, and that our ears may ever find fulfillment in hearing of your traits and deeds anew. This is a nice prayer. We may think, well, I don't know if I'm going to go back to God in this lifetime. And I have it seems like such a long, difficult path. Well, if I have to be reborn again, at least let me be reborn in a family of devotees. Let my thoughts be of Krishna. Let me have my words describe Krishna. May my hands serve Krishna. You'll find several prayers like this throughout the Bhagavatam. Even the residents of Vrindavan, in their humility, are praying like that. When Uddhava goes to Vrindavan on Krishna's instruction to deliver his message to the gopis, And he sees the standard of devotion, first of Mother Yashoda and Nanda, who are always in pining for Krishna, crying for Krishna. And then, of course, he sees the gopis and meets with them privately. Radharani, in her madness of separation, has a song to the bee. You know, the song to the bee. Prabhupada loved this chapter. This chapter 47 encapsulates the whole mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Asampradaya. It's worth reading. Again, hopefully. So then, at the end there, when he's about to leave, he stays there for like a month, I think, and encourages them and talks about Krishna. They have this simple prayer, which fortunately I don't know the Sanskrit. But it's just like that other prayer. It says, May our hands always do your work. May our ears always hear your glories. May our hearts always feel love for you, like that. You know? So we should adopt some of these prayers. This is a part of what the nine processes, Vandanam, is to pray to Krishna. What is this? What is a prayer? Actually, Vandanam has three elements. I'm going to give a little... this is the theme of the retreat, the Christmas retreat in Chicago that I attend every year. Ram Padmaraj invites me up there. So Vandanam, I did a little investigation of prayers in the Bhagavatam, and you'll see that there's glorification. First, there's obeisances, right? Namo, namo, tulasi, Krishna, prayasi. That song is an ideal prayer. So the first obeisances, recognizing the superiority of the person you're praying to. Then there's generally glorification. Just like, oh, anyone who takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. You're so dear to Krishna. So that means you're qualified to give me a boon, right? And what is the boon I want? I want to become your maidservant. I want to have the eternal love for Radha and Krishna, right? So three things: obeisances, glorification, and the actual prayer of the prayer, what's normally called prayer, some request. And you'll find that even in Haranyakashipu, right? When Brahma came down, oh, great, you know? And he glorified him as the supreme, you know, and offered his respects, and then asked for this demonic boon, right? Which he thought he got immortality, but he didn't. But it's a general principle. So we should adopt that. You know, we glorify Krishna all the time, but we need to pray to vocalize, or to, at least in our minds, to actually ask for, you know, what we should want to ask for. You know, that we've been taught how to pray. Otherwise, if we're not taught how to pray, we come and we ask for something material, right? We ask for, please cure my disease. Please give me enough money for the rent. Please, you know, and it's that pleading. This is material dharma. This is the Kaitava dharma. So we've been taught how to pray. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhagavatam, is filled with prayers. In fact, it's interesting, in the sixth canto, when there's this epic, you know, battle between the demigods and the demons, and the demigods actually lose their kingdom because Indra insulted Brihaspati. And so the demigods, they have the advantage of being able to pray to Vishnu, because there is, you know, they're his devotees after all. So they pray a beautiful prayer, but at the end of it, they just ask, can we please, you know, help us to get our kingdom back? And so Vishnu appears and he chastises him for such a materialistic prayer. He says, okay, I'll help you. And then he gives him something quite ghastly. Okay, here's the instruction. You go to the Dichi and ask him for his body, and then construct an invincible thunderbolt weapon out of his bones. You know? We don't want that, do we? I mean, do we want to get some kind of prayer? Like, Krishna is teaching them, this is not what to pray for. So he's teaching us through the Bhagavatam. And so many of the great devotees, like the residents of Vrindavan, they're, you know, teaching us how to pray. So I'll end there. Thank you for your attention and for your hospitality. And it's, I think, 20th visit I've made. I've been coming here for like at least 10 years, twice a year. And I feel it's a home away from home. And if there's any questions on this verse or any of the verses, I think you were first, Hari, now. Okay.
Thank you. I was just thinking how in this verse when Prabhupada was talking about how there's no enmity and the place becomes Vrindavan, it seems that for those whose hearts are like Vrindavan, this world is not a fearful place, right?
That's right.
I see Krishna everywhere, so that's definitely...
Yes, the idea is that Krishna consciousness, you know, destroys fear. This is the first lesson of the Yogendras, is how to overcome fear, and this is a fearful world. So that's an incredible boon, you know. And those who are carrying Vrindavan in their hearts and have that Vrindavan mood, you know, because there's no lust. There's no desire. There's just that desire to give. And how can, you know, just like the Prabhupada quotes here from the Six Goswamis, Krishna Kirtana, but it's also, you know, dhira dhira janapriyo. Even those who are normally rough and angry, they are disarmed by the, you know, the loving devotees and especially, you know, the Goswamis. So that's, you can not only not have envy, but you can dissipate envy in others, the real devotees like that. And Prabhupada showed that. That was your question or your comment?
No, that was the comment. The question is not exactly on this verse, but you did mention about going back to Godhead. I heard Gopi Puranadana Prabhu say that for those who think that they need to know everything about Krishna and the color of their sari and the spiritual world and so many things, that Krishna will say, okay, well, you can do that if you think that's what you need before you
try to speak in the mic this
before
way.
You go back to Godhead. Or if you think you have to have, you know, so much purity or you can't go back. But he said if you believe in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, who said in this one life you can go back,
right,
then you can go back. And yet, we also hear Prabhupada say, if you have one pinch of desire, you cannot go back. And if you, so, and then he also said that Krishna is not attached. When Krishna comes, he's not attached to this place. He said, why? Because he comes for others.
Yeah.
He said, so if you live for others, as Krishna gave that example, if you live for others, then you don't have to worry about your bhajan and your sadhana and your this and your that. You preach and you live for others and Krishna will take care of all of it. And you were also mentioning, you know, we have to have the sadhana and we have to do the preaching. So, but we see what's in the heart. So on one hand it's encouraging, on the other hand we go, but then Prabhupada said, do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, so in other words, there seems to be two things going on there. One is that, okay, you just live for others, giving them Krishna consciousness, and you get the blessings of Lord Nityananda, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and you'll be taken back to Godhead. But then we look in our heart and we see, yeah, okay, but I have so many material desires, and Prabhupada says even one desire will bring you back. And the way I understand it is that, first of all, you know, the rate at which purification can take place is not set in stone. And what I mean by that is that I have seen and I have heard about many devotees, you know, who have been, what to speak of, like struggling along, you know, in sadhana. They've practically given up sadhana. But then come back, you know, when they have a terminal disease or something. And they remember that, oh, the people who really cared for me and who I really cared for were the devotees. And they, you know, it doesn't happen with everyone, but it happens. And then for maybe months, weeks, or even days, they're in the association of devotees, and a lot of intense, you know, mercy is going on. Devotees are chanting, and the person is crying and repenting for their fallen condition. They're thinking of Prabhupada. And so who knows if that such a person goes back? We can't really tell. But you know that there's a lot of purification that is going on there. I mean, just look at Ajamil. It was like 2 seconds. You know, he chanted the name of Narayan, you know, and then he was pure enough that he wasn't going to hell. And then he heard that conversation, which if you read it in the Bhagavatam, it takes about 3 minutes to read all that. And there he was, and that whole lifetime of sin had been purified enough so that he stayed in his body, was able and determined to go to Bhadraka Ashram and complete the course. So, yes, if we have a material desire, we're going to come back to fulfill it. But we don't know, you know, that this material desire, we may cherish it. And the thing is, it causes suffering for the devotee to have that material desire. And that suffering is that it decreases diminishes your ability to taste Krishna consciousness in this life. You know, the more that we kind of, you know, are slack in sadhana and this and that, then when it comes time to be immersed in the kirtan, everyone had a different experience in that tent, you know, according to your purity, according to your taste for the holy name. And don't we want to taste it now? You know, we know what it's there for each one of us. We have to be determined to want to go back to Godhead right now. Means that it doesn't mean we have to leave your body. After all, it's a state of mind, Godhead, right? It's in your head. It's your consciousness. You know. And that you can go back to Iha Yasya Hare Dase Karma Namana Sagada Nikana Shapya Vastasu Jivan Muktasuchate. Prabhupada quote this verse. I think Sanatana Goswami quotes it. Iha doesn't mean here, it means your activities. Yasya Hare Dasi, if all your activities are in the realm of service to Hari or Krishna, which activities? Karma Namana Sagada, that covers pretty much everything. Your senses, your mind, your voice. Nikalash means all. Nikalash vastasu, then you're a jivan mukta. It means that you're liberated even in this lifetime. And so you're already experiencing it. That's why we heard recently that the great devotees, they're not so, you know, they're not praying, please, I want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Because they're already there in practice. You are where your consciousness is, really. The whole idea of these temples is that you walk in and your consciousness is affected. And you feel like you're in Vrindavan. But still, we know very well, you may be chanting your rounds or sitting in class and your mind is a million miles away. That's where you are, really. Your physical body, you may be sitting here, right? So similarly, you could be sitting on Second Avenue with you know, with the traffic going by and kids screaming outside. But as Prabhupada said, I'm like on the bank of the Yamuna. I'm really in Vrindavan. I never left Vrindavan, you know. So that Vrindavan mood, you know, where your consciousness is, that is Krishna consciousness. Krishna is in the center, and you feel love for Krishna, and through Krishna you feel love for everyone. And if you come in contact with people, they'll also feel that. What is it that happens when you meet some outsider who hasn't heard about Krishna? You try to give him a book, you prasad him, try to attract him to Krishna. It's only Krishna coming through you that is attracting them. The more we can be pure media, as Prabhupada would say, via media, for Krishna, for Srila Prabhupada, the more we'll be attracted, because Krishna is all attractive. So that's what, you know, how you really could be peaceful and happy, free from anger and fear in this world, is if you're, you know, and then when danger comes, oh, this is Krishna's, he's taking me back now, or he's, you know, he's giving me a little slap for something I did in my previous life. It's all part of the, in other words, you see Krishna everywhere, even in the punishment, the difficulties. And let's face it, difficulties will come to every one of us, sooner or later. So, yes, we need to be pure to go back to Godhead, but that purification, a lot of it can take place in a short time, if we're sincere and we're ready, if we're strong enough to take shelter of the devotee association when death calls, and we're fortunate to do that, then that's the greatest place to be, and so much purification can take place. I don't know, you know, no one can tell this person went back, didn't, but we know that they'll come back in the association of devotees, do more service, and, you know, be blessed. That's my answer. Someone else? Ranjan Prabhu?
Hare Krishna.
Hare.
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class.
Hare Krishna. Glorious to Prabhupada.
I just wanted to give a little background on the purport, where it talks about the Durban Post.
Okay.
So, because we were there, and we sent Prabhupada those articles in the newspapers and a letter describing all our activities in South Africa. And so Prabhupada had been to South Africa in 1975 in October. And in that small space of about 10-12 days that he was there, he held 9 different programs all over the country. And very well attended, as many as 1,000 people in one venue in Durban at the in Mobeni Heights. So Prabhupada was very much acquainted with South Africa and what was going on with the devotees there. And when he was there, all we had was a tiny little house in an insignificant suburb of Johannesburg. And then we got this farm at the beginning of 1977. We built a temple on the farm, and we got cows, and actually the farm was about 120 acres, which is roughly the same size as New Ramanreti, which is sort of coincidentally nice. And so then we sent this letter to Prabhupada describing, because for the opening of the temple that we built on the farm, we held this incredible Janmashtami festival. And about 15,000 people came over the 2 days that we held this festival. And how they got there, because this farm was about 30 miles from nowhere, was that all the buses for black people in South Africa, the bus lines, were owned by Indians.
Uh-huh.
And so these life members, so we had 30 buses at our disposal bringing the people to the program at the farm. We had this big, huge pandal.
Uh-huh.
And we put on a play, and we put on the kirtan. We had the movies. There were four movies at the time. And so then we sent Prabhupada these articles and this description of the farm.
And of course, there were so many reporters there, right?
There were reporters there. Yeah. There were reporters there. And I was the reporter, actually.
Oh, you were the reporter. Okay, so you wrote up the story. So.
And the Indian newspapers, they told us, just whatever you write, we'll print.
I see.
You know, so we did that.
So this Durban Post was an Indian paper,
or
this?
Yes.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yes.
I see.
Yeah. And and so they printed these articles, just whatever we
nice.
Sent them.
Nice.
They printed, and so in that way, and after that. They started, it's also mentioned in the letters, we started this tent program because there was a lot of conversion of Hindus to Christians at the time.
I see.
So this was a big thing.
I see.
And so it's described that Tamal Krishna's letter back to us, that Prabhupada was very interested in these articles, and he got up and put his glasses on and,
wow.
you know, looked at all the articles carefully. So that's how that...
That's wonderful.
That quote
Thank you for out. That. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Jai.